Away from your radio? Listen to 1010XL on the 1010XL app, a free download for all smartphone users, or say, Alexa, open 1010XL.
Welcome to Rockville Presents XL Primetime.
Yes, it will. Captain America captures Augusta. Imagine Dragons would say, welcome to the new age.
With your host, Joe Cowart.
I just had to get the puck started. I knew right on contact, I knew the ball was in. You know, right after that, it was just that sigh of relief that I finally done it.
Hacker.
I feel like I have a lot of fans around here. You know, that's one great thing about the sport we play is, you know, whether it's here, whether it's anywhere else we play, or whether it's around the world, I mean, a lot of the fans, they respect great golf.
Matt Hayes.
Knowing that I have to get the jacket back at the end of the week, it makes me more hungry and more motivated to keep the jacket and continue playing well and trying to win another one.
And Leon Searcy.
It's nothing like being able to just kind of walk around and I position a jacket everywhere I go. So every time I wake up, I see it, and every time I come home and go to bed, I see it. So I use it more as motivation.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
That was the defending champion. Some highlights and comments from Patrick Reed. And, yeah, I wouldn't want to give up that green jacket either, that's for sure. But Patrick Reed coming in as the defending champion, serving up cowboy ribeyes Tuesday night at the Champions Dinner for all the past winners. And now it's on, man. Play is underway. You just heard some of the scores that are coming out with Tiger birdie early. It's wild when Tiger hits a tee shot and within less than a second, he reaches down, picks up the peg, and never looks down the fairway. He knows exactly where it's going because he knows that golf course that well. Welcome in, man. We cannot wait to look at this Augusta National first-round play of the Masters, get into it a little bit. We'll definitely feed you some football today as well. But I got up early, just kind of soaking it all up, Golf Channel with their live from coverage, and then, of course, ceremonial tee shots, all that stuff. So it is underway, fired up and ready to go for Augusta National.
Got up this morning, watched Gary Player, watched Jack Nicklaus, like I said I would yesterday. The thing, Gary Player played in 52 Masters. 52 Masters. Still only 83 years old, but he looks good for 83.
Well, I love
good grief.
The standard bearer, you always put the name and then the score right next to your name.
They got the age.
They slide in an 83 for Gary Player and a 79 for Jack.
And you can tell the differences the two have. Gary Player kind of tearing up as he's being introduced. Jack's focused, man. He wants to get that shot down the fairway. He was limbering up, getting loose. So that was a great way to start it. Obviously, Tiger off to an early start. But, Joe, you being the golf guy, give us 20 seconds apiece on Aaron Wise and Justin Harding,
well,
two of your co-leaders right now at the Masters.
It's funny, when we were looking at our little picks contest that we did yesterday, Leon got a surrogate. He got Donna Murphy to pick for him. He's over there with a big smile. He's loving it. So one of the guys that we were breaking down was Justin Harding. He's, I believe, an Englishman.
I know Leon was pretty high on Justin Harding yesterday.
Yeah, he was torn, man.
Absolutely.
He didn't know which way to go.
Yeah.
And so anyway, Justin Harding, I believe, is an Englishman, and he comes over and will play in the World Golf Championship. So he's a highly regarded player, but you see him on the European Tour more often. Aaron Wise won at 21 years of age. He won the Wells Fargo Championship. And you want to talk about some steely stuff late up there at Quail Hollow? He was able to win that tournament with a huge putt. That's the green mile, 16, 17, and 18 at Quail Hollow. Is as tough a finishing stretch as there is in golf. So for a young player like that, he didn't shrink in the moment. So he's a good player, can hit it a ton. Looks like he weighs about 140 pounds.
Justin Harding, by the way, is South African,
South
Joe.
Africa.
You're xenophobic.
There you
Come
go.
On, bro.
There you go. I was trying to
remember.
They
all speak the same? Is that what you're going to say?
No. Actually, I kind of had him plugged in with that pack of Englishmen that you, like I said, you rarely see. And as soon as you said South Africa, I'm like, I remember that now. Of course I remember it.
By the way, if any of us chose Ian Woosnam in our tier 7, he just quadded 10.
Yeah.
He's 8 over now.
Yeah. He's.
Should they stop doing that? I mean, look, I'm all for guys that win the Masters. I think it's great they come back. But at a certain point, do they need to let these guys keep playing?
I think they've looked at cutting off certain guys after a certain period of time. I think what they do is they quietly talk to them, and then they basically make a wise decision to pull themselves out of competition. But Ian Woosnam saying, like, I want it. I'm still part of it.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to tee it. And
I mean, the way the Masters is right now, if Gary Player wanted to, he could play. Yeah. Leon, they let all the past champions come back and participate. So at 83 years of age, if Gary Poyer wanted to, he could be in the field.
Hey, why wouldn't you?
Well,
I mean, he's legendary.
Probably doesn't want to walk 17
one
miles.
One of the most pristine golf tournaments of all time. Yes, I want to invite every day. Every year I want to invite.
Hold yeah. on. And just I'll show up 2 weeks in advance, and I'll stay 2 weeks after, whatever you want me to do. But I'm gonna be part of it, which is pretty neat. But there's so many good storylines.
Why don't you like the older crowd, Hack? I don't get it.
No, it's like I don't want the guys that were champions in their 30s and 40s to come back in their late 60s and 70s and shoot a 90. I mean, embarrass themselves.
That's not.
Is it embarrassing?
No. If a guy shoots a 20 over
they're
par,
they're older guys though. Like, it's not like we look at the scores and are like, "Oh my God, what a loser!"
We're there for the pageantry.
Right,
we're
it's
not
great
concerned
for the fans
about
to see
okay.
him play.
Well, you know what? Absolutely. Yes. Well, you know what we need to do then? We need to let John Elway quarterback the Denver Broncos this year. And then
he might do a better job
in a
than
flag
what they have.
Football game. Yeah, why not?
Well, yeah. or name your. Let's well, let Patrick well, Ewing.
He might have done a better job than Blake Bortles last year. I can tell you that.
Let's let Patrick Ewing play center for the Knicks at age 55 and see how that works out for him.
You're talking different. You're talking a more physical.
Right,
sport.
You're talking foolish. Yeah, what you're talking. Yeah,
it's more physical.
It's a little nonsense.
No, I don't know why it's fun to watch a guy shoot 20 over par.
But
I get the nostalgia of he won 34 years ago.
See, here's the point. Augusta is special. They have that one rule where guys can come back and play. It's why I always tell you and everybody else out there, of the majors, everyone thinks this is the hardest. It's the easiest if you can figure out that golf course because the field is so small. You have to beat about 60 players that are capable, fully capable of going out there and putting together four great days. But you can wipe out the rest of them. It's just not, it's not a large field, number one. And there are those guys, the Sevies, or excuse me, rest in peace, Sevy, the Jose Maria Olazabal, the Ian Woosnams, those guys that come back. Even Sandy Lyle yesterday he had to go to three extra holes in the par three contest to win it against a young Matt Wallace, who I do believe is an Englishman.
He's not South African?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, there's something special about that. And there's also something special about the players, because at the players, it's very cool to know that you have to qualify for that tournament. There are no special invites. There are no lifetime exemptions. So all of these have a unique quality to them. And I can't imagine why it would be bad for anybody to know that Ian Woosnam's in the field. If you're not watching him the whole time, who cares?
All right, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I see 8 over par through 12, which, by the way, isn't terrible. But if he goes another 8 over par and finishes with a 90 or an 88,
let me ask you a question. 50 years from now, this radio station wants to bring back Ryan Hacker Green.
50 years from
50
now?
50 years from now.
I'll still be sitting right here. I'll be on middays, noon to 3.
Yeah.
The big question I'm not going anywhere.
The big question is, will you have updated your computer in 50 years? That's the question.
That's true, too. Yeah, I figured that. I was mad at Microsoft yesterday because they shut down my office, and I couldn't figure out what to do, and I was cursing like a sailor. Trying to figure it out. I hate technology. Turns out I hadn't updated my computer in like 2 years.
Right, somebody to your left reminded you of that yesterday.
Yeah, I had to have all the installations and updating and all that nonsense. And now Microsoft works for me again, so all is right with the world.
Now the next thing is get like a Clorox wipe and like all that food and whatever's
it's
on
not,
there.
It's
crap.
It's crumbs.
Yeah, just like wipe it off, man.
No, it's crumbs.
The air
moist towelette.
Yeah.
The air cannon I got you to blow on that stuff.
I like
out
the
of
air
it,
cannon.
Man.
The air cannon was soothing and refreshing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, it's for your computer, not your face.
Oh, for the computer.
Right.
Okay, I'll have to do that next.
All right, so we're gonna keep our eye on the leaderboard and at least throw a few of a match. If there are any good stories as far as the guys that are getting on a run early, we'll definitely give it to you. Hao Tong Lee, 2 under par, he's tied. John Rahm tied as he just picked up a birdie for the lead. So he's a guy that really has played well there before but can also run hot. So we'll see whether the Spaniard can stick around and add his name to the list of those that have won it before, like Seve, Jose Maria, and then Sergio. You want to talk about pain? Okay, forget about Ian Woosnam and the number he had. Sergio Garcia, as a defending champion, carded a double-digit score on a golf hole. Just think about that.
Yeah, what he put 3 in the water, didn't he, in the same hole?
He got
like a 12 last year, I thought.
Yeah, he put a total of, I think, 5 golf balls in the water.
Wow.
So that's pain. Now, that's what that golf course can do to you. And Sergio definitely got a little stubborn, that's for sure, because he easily could have done a couple of different things, just played it all the way to the top of the green and then tried to – but he just kept trying to drop it in right on top of the flag.
I get the sense –
just kept pulling it right back off the green.
I get the sense I've struck a nerve. And I did mean to start this show by talking about Ian Woosnam having a quad.
I think,
but whether it's on the text line or the three of you guys, right. I'm getting looks over here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not
anti-Ian Woosnam, all right? I'm just saying I don't know if I need to see guys shooting 90 out
right.
there.
Right, the whole point is you don't have to, but he can.
Okay, yes.
Really, that's really what it is. But it's not so much struck a nerve, you might describe it as you lost an argument.
Well, that's okay. That's your opinion,
yeah. Well,
man.
The real problem with the Masters is that we can't actually watch it until 3 p.m. every year.
On the website, you
right,
can.
Right, I get that. But it's a feature group. You know what I'm saying.
So I'm assuming people are watching the Masters right now, but they're listening to XL Primetime.
Yeah. And they've got it up on their browser, and I'm watching, I think, one of the groups. But I totally love the fact that they don't open it up to where they're showing, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 hours of golf.
Oh, really? I thought you'd be the opposite.
Well, because you have that anticipation like you're talking about. So you get fired up and you get ready to go. I think the par three contest came on yesterday afternoon. I had to get a glimpse of that. So I was ready, fired up as soon as the show was over. And it'll come on later this afternoon, too, the opening round coverage. And then I'll just eat it up for the rest of the day and into the evening. I still might stick a peg in the ground. We were watching some of that stuff last night at the Golf Club of Southampton. Another great night, by the way.
That's not all you were watching there.
Yeah. Oh, I know. We were having a good time.
It was a nice photo you sent us.
Yeah, we were having a good time. Place was packed. We Zaxby's hooked us up with delicious chicken wings, chicken fingers. Had a great spread. And the fellas always having a good time at the Golf Club of Southampton on Wednesday nights. All right, so we're going to talk golf, but also the NBA postseason is now set. We're going to get Nick Anderson, dial his phone up at 1 o'clock and talk a little bit about what's going on with the Magic. But the Magic were able to take care of business. Detroit won, so that's what you were worried about as far as changing the way things were going to be seeded.
I mean, it was either did we want Milwaukee and the Greek Freak or did we want Toronto?
You get Toronto. Yeah,
it's kind of
Kawhi.
A pick your poison. I don't think Orlando's going to beat Toronto, but Leon, you talked to Nick this morning. You're friends with Nick Anderson. You're from the Orlando area. It's the first time in 7 years that the regular season ended and I have a basketball game and a basketball series to look forward to. So very happy that the Magic won. By the way, won last night in Charlotte without two starters. So they will play Toronto beginning Saturday at 5 o'clock in game one of that series. But the NBA playoffs will be great. This is when Golden State will turn it on. This is when it gets serious for Houston and Oklahoma City, and I love it. And we'll talk to Nick Anderson about all that coming up in about 45 minutes.
Yeah, so I want to ask you a question about the Magic. Are you just happy that they're in, or do you want to see them do some damage?
Everything from this point forward
is gravy.
Everything's – I've already had my vanilla ice cream, Leon, and it was good.
Okay.
Getting in the playoffs.
Now, I'm sure
anything now is sprinkles and hot fudge.
Okay, I'm sure when you talk to Nick at one, he's going to expect a lot more from this team.
Maybe. Yeah. But as a fan, I just wanted to get in.
Yeah, I know what you understand.
Sure.
It's been a 7-year drought, hasn't it?
It's 2012. Yeah. Not since Dwight Howard.
Wow.
And you can play both sides of that argument because it's good to get there. But once you get there, you up your expectations.
I tell people every time, you just got to get to the dance.
Yeah.
It don't matter how she looks. It don't matter how the girl looks. Just got to get to the dance.
Because what happens is you throw the film in. Mm-hmm. You start looking at the tape and you're going – you know what? We match up well with this team, and in the case of Toronto, you know the switches that you got to make sure that they stay on off.
Orlando was 2-2 against them in the regular season,
and
Kawhi Leonard had to hit a buzzer beater, or else Orlando would have been 3-1.
And there's something to be said for Toronto trying to prove that they can do something in the postseason. Now they've gotten past the first round, but they've also been extinguished quickly in the second round. Or I'm trying to remember if they made it.
Yeah, that's been with LeBron's Cleveland.
Yeah, just sweep them right out of
Cleveland
there.
Cleveland swept them in the Eastern semis last year.
Yeah, and so they've got to prove something. And then, of course, with Kawhi going up there after everything he was able to do in San Antonio with the others, he wants to try and show them the way, lead them to series wins, and then maybe get to the Eastern Conference Finals and have a chance to take it to the NBA Finals. But we'll look at both sides, East and West, how they match up.
Is it just like it has been in years past, though, all this analysis, all the excitement? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's going to be Golden State again, right? Would you be surprised?
All I'm saying this time around is that there are more challengers for them. Okay, I still think, as you just said a minute ago, you get through the regular season, some teams just snap out of it, and all of a sudden they go into playoff mode. That's what I expect from them. But we've seen more chinks in their armor this year than we have in years past. I'm not trying to make too much of it, but I think it's there.
I think that's the one big difference between football and basketball is that in basketball, you can, like, turn on the switch during playoff times and make them win. In the NFL, you've got to get on a run. Mm-hmm. In December, in late November or in December, you got to be playing your best football that can carry you into the playoffs. And then that just kind of – it's like a snowball effect that will lead you to the playoffs and maybe to the Super Bowl. When the NBA, you know, like you were talking about Golden State, me and Hackett was talking about mm-hmm. this a couple of days ago, Golden State hasn't looked like Golden State, but then in the last couple of weeks they just turned the switch on because they know, hey, we got the playoffs in a couple of days. We need to get this thing going. But with the NFL, I think it's more of a month thing. The end of November, December, mm-hmm. you got to get on the
look
road.
Look the part.
Yeah, right, you got to look the part, exactly. You can't just turn switch.
Popovich used to hold guys out. You're not holding guys out in the NFL
right.
for any game.
No,
And the NHL is the same way. But on the positive side of that, the NBA and the NHL playoffs are fantastic. They're fantastic to watch because everybody turns it up, all the way up. And you see guys going at it 100%. Everybody's going at it. Everybody knows what's at stake. It's a championship. It's what you play for. It's contract time. That's when those guys all make the big contracts. This is what happens in the postseason.
Yeah, this is your 30 seconds of NHL. Oh, yeah. How about a team that never lost when they were up by three the entire season? Never lost when they were up by three the entire season. They were up by three in the opening round of the playoffs as the best team in the NHL, mm-hmm. and they lose. That's what happened last night. That's what happened with my John Tortorella-led Columbus Blue Jackets. As they beat the Lightning.
And when the Lightning went in six, nobody will remember.
Well, they went up 3-0, got tied, and then ultimately lost.
Columbus was up 2-0 on the Capitals. First series. Caps came back and won the Cup. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I wouldn't make too much about it, but that goes to the point of everybody dials it up, man.
Yeah. Well, in the NHL, too, the last 6 years, the team that had the best record in the regular season did not win the Stanley Cup trophy at the end. So, the NHL, there's a lot of recent history where if you're great in the regular season, that does not translate to the postseason. That's what the Lightning are fighting right now.
All right, back real quick to the NBA. Last games for Dirk Nowitzki and Dwayne Wade. Both of their teams not part of the postseason. Wade went up to Brooklyn, and then all of a sudden the guys show up. LeBron, Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, they're all there to hug it up and hug it out with him. As he played his last game.
It was good to see Melo so close to a basketball court.
Yeah. It's the only time I think he's been cheered in New York, Carmelo, because he wasn't playing. But also Dirk in San Antonio, they did a tribute video for Dirk. Dirk's crying his face off.
Unbelievable. Like you said, he's on the road, and they did this tribute video.
And he loved it. And Greg Popovich made sure at the end of the game was yelling at one of his guys, get away from him, get away from him, let him take the shot. And so Dirk made it. Well, then I can't even remember who the defender was, but he tweeted out afterwards. He goes, "Coach is calling me off. You know, thank God you made the shot, man, because I didn't want to come off defensively if you weren't going to drop it in the bucket." And of course, Dirk does that all the time.
It's kind of a sad day. I mean, the NBA will be different without Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki. Those guys have been around. Wade's been around since 2003. Dirk's been around since 1998. So it's kind of a changing of the guard. Certainly, it's very similar to me when Duncan retired. It's just gonna feel different next year with those guys not around.
All right, so what jumps out at you guys? What do you like most? Warriors, Clippers, I don't think so. Nuggets, Spurs, maybe. Blazers, Thunder, see what could happen there.
That's the series.
Yeah, I do like that
one. Damian Lillard against Russell Westbrook.
And then Rockets, Jazz, not as much. So I think we all agree Blazers, Thunder would be the most appealing opening round in the West.
Rockets, Jazz doesn't do anything for you?
A little bit, but I'd still put Blazers, Thunder ahead.
Yeah, okay, I would too.
Well, also because of the Donovan kind of angle, because if they go out in the first round,
he could get fired.
He could get fired.
Yeah. And it wouldn't shock me at all if that happens. And maybe, they'd have to be knocked out in the first
round.
It would
be 2 years in a row first round knockouts for them.
Jazz, and that would probably be enough, even though the relationship is so strong there for him. But yeah, they'd probably look long and hard at making a change there. Bucks, Pistons in the East.
Bucks will sweep them.
Raptors, Magic.
Oh, yeah, man.
Raptors will sweep.
Yeah, another sweep.
You want to bet 10 matchsticks on that one?
How fired up he is, man.
Yeah, we're just having fun. Yeah. 76ers, Nets. That could be a good one.
That should be a good one.
And then Celtics, Pacers.
Celtics, Pacers will be good.
That'll be good.
Celtics lost Keith Smart last night.
Yeah.
He's going to be out for the first two series if they make it.
Yeah,
Keith Smart. Marcus Smart. I don't know why you play guys in meaningless games at the end of the year. There was no reason for any of the Celtic guys to be playing last night. And you lose Marcus Smart in the process.
Yeah. Go back to Matt's point that Pop would be sitting him. He'd just be resting him. And that probably wasn't a very good idea if you gained nothing.
We could agree the Sixers are one of the top three young teams in the league, right?
Yeah.
That's a dangerous series for them.
Yeah. They're exciting.
Brooklyn's playing well.
Exactly.
And that's a dangerous series.
As a Laker fan, Joe, when you see D'Angelo Russell – turning into the player he's turning into.
It drives me crazy. It really does.
Sickening. That's real sickening.
Yeah, it drives me crazy that they couldn't figure out a way for that all to exist. And remember, real quick, the whole story was is that he exposed one of his teammates for stepping out on his lady, and that ended up being a firestorm in the locker room. All right, we're going to keep you up to date with everything that's going on with the Masters, so stay tuned all afternoon. We'll get into some NFL talk coming up on XL Primetime.
We saved you a seat. It's Lunch with Leon on 1010XL.
Brought to you by Wingstop.
Short putts. Tiger Woods has missed one of them. Giving a shot back. Leveling out that card that's at that brand new redesigned fifth hole. So Woods back to level par. All right, let's throw some football at him. Because we've been talking a lot about the draft and really trying to get a feel, zeroing in on what all these teams are going to do. But take a look at this team pre-draft. Just take a look at this team and think about – actually, I don't want to imagine them not having a good draft. I don't want to imagine that. So just set that aside for a moment.
Well, that's been reality far too many times.
Yeah. I was going to say it might just happen.
So I just didn't want to – I didn't want to say that and lead us in that direction. But just, period, take a look at the team right now. What do they got? Who do they have? Is it good enough to go out there and put a winning product on the field?
Well, I think, Leon, the question is, if you look at, obviously not including the rookies, we don't know who they're going to bring in a couple of weeks, the roster as it stands right now, they report Monday for off-season conditioning. We'll see if Ramsey and Fournette are here. Who knows? But most of the other guys will be, including Nick Foles. If you were to talk about potential position battles, going through OTAs, minicamp, into training camp, certainly your former position, right tackle, is something that we don't know what's going to happen there. Could be a rookie. Could be guys already on the roster. Tight end, I guess Jeff Swaim is the starter. We'll see what happens, whether they bring in a rookie or not. But right now, Jeff Swaim, from the free agent from Dallas, appears to be the starter. Leon Jacobs or Jake Ryan at linebacker? Do they move Miles Jack back out to the outside? There are some interesting questions position-wise going into off-season conditioning, which begins on Monday.
Well, I tell you what, when you come off a 5-11 season, pretty much everybody's position is up in the air, to be honest with you. I mean, no one's position should be safe, but you're right. Interesting enough, a right tackle is very important because, you know, essentially we're going to get the left side, 3/5 of the offensive line. Well, hopefully we can get them back by training camp. We just signed A.J. Cann to a new deal. So right tackle is going to be very interesting to see what we do. If we go with the guys, everybody's talking about Will Richardson. Has he developed? And we went and got the guy from Cincinnati. Is he just a guy? Can he be a guy who could push as far as a starter? Or are we going to go and get Juwan Taylor in the 7th pick overall? So that'd be very interesting to see what
Let me ask you this. Mike DiRocco today brought up Josh Wells. They re-signed Josh Wells. Could Josh Wells potentially be in the mix to start at right tackle?
I don't think so. I think he's best set to be the swing guy. He is the guy that can play left or right. You know, he's the like he was last year. He did a serviceable job at left tackle, you know, when Cam Robinson went out.
And so, then swung over to the right for a little bit.
Some guys know, you know, where they stand. And I think Josh Wells understands that, hey, right now I'm depth on either side of the ball. It better be left tackle or right tackle. Then you go to the tight end position. Then there's issue with the tight ends position. Will we draft a tight end 7th overall, you know? And then you can look at the wide receiver position, a second receiver. I mean, we're good with the slot. We're good with the one. But how what are we going to do with the two? I mean, are we going to go get a receiver at number two? So I don't think personally, me just being the player and me, that anybody about position should be safe. But realistically, those are the key positions. Maybe even the linebacker position.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a situation at the linebacker position where we could maybe – I know we got the guy from Green Bay. What's his name? Jake Ryan. So, I mean – but, you know, he's up in the air because he has an ACL. How is he going to come back from his injury or whatever? Is he going to be effective? You'll know a lot about these guys and their injuries for the most part in training camp. Are they in parent track? Are they practicing? Because that'll be the telltale to tell you if they'll be ready for week one.
Because if you're looking at it, okay, most of the names you recognize on this football team as starters, okay, Marquise Lee being the biggest of the question marks, and then Cam Robinson behind him, then Linder, then Norwell. All those guys had significant injuries that caused them to miss either, you know, all or most of the season in large part. But go beyond the fact that they were injured. There are recognizable names at a lot of positions. The one that's up for grabs is that right tackle position, the Will Richardson versus Cedric Ogbuehi. Okay, so Sed is going to come in here and at least try and prove that he can compete for that position. And then the second-year man's going to have to prove that he can compete for that position. Then the next one that is a complete and total unknown is the tight end position. And whether or not Jeff Swaim can come in, guy that was with Dallas, unrestricted free agent, signed for not a big big price tag.
You got, what, $3 million a year or something like that?
And then you battle it out. I like that James O'Shaughnessy's coming back. I think he's a guy that serviceable, I think, is probably a fair way to describe him. But it makes you wish and want for a tight end in the draft, and a tight end probably pretty high in the draft. But you put it all on its face, there's really only a couple of key position battles on that side of the football right now.
Who's replacing Tashawn Gibson at safety? Is it as simple as Jarrett Wilson? Right now, that's all they got.
Yeah. But I would be willing to go, if there are three rounds and you had to fit four positions into those three rounds, you know, some combination, in other words, you're going to leave one of them out, I think safety is actually part of that discussion. Wide receiver, tight end, offensive line, and you could argue whether it would be a pass rusher or whatever, but I think safety is a real possibility.
Yeah, well, you know, if you got four major positions that you're trying to fill in on your position and you've been going the first three rounds, you got to make sure you hit on them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't miss on those guys. If you're going for a safety, if you're going for a tackle, if you're going for a tight end, you got to make sure you draft well. And unfortunately, this organization over the last decade has not done that. So this is very important. If this team moving forward in 2019 with all the components that they have on defense and now you've got your franchise quarterback, you've got to get some young entities in there that can come in week one and have an impact. So you cannot miss on this draft here if you're going to be moving forward and you plan on having a successful 2019 season.
I mean, you can't miss on the first, I would say, four picks. The first three rounds, you cannot miss.
Right. Yeah,
you
I
need
agree.
Four guys. You need four guys that will be able to come in here and not only make an impact, but to play.
Yeah.
Play every week and be critical to your ability to win games.
Yeah.
And you cannot miss in those four picks.
Because we've gone back and used last year as an example, and they were not in a position to where DJ Chark, Taven Bryan, and Ronnie Harrison, those were the first three picks, they were not in a position to go out there and help this football team. They weren't. And so this next set of guys have to be in a position where they can help. Chark helped on special teams. Taven Bryan helped in spot duty because he was giving another guy a blow to get on the sidelines and Calais Campbell. And then you can look at Ronnie Harrison later as really the one of the only three that became a starter.
But isn't it interesting,
because
though,
they were cutting another guy.
Well, yeah, but their plan was to replace Barry Church with Ronnie Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
Done. Their plan was to replace Malik Jackson with Taven Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
Done. DJ Chark probably didn't work out the way they wanted, but at least round one and three, everything they envisioned when they drafted those guys last year has come to fruition. Now it's up to Taven Bryan and Ronnie Harrison to go out there and perform.
Right, and you want to see them flourish as
well, sure.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But the idea was to replace Church and Jackson, and they've done that.
Yeah, because you knew the money was going to be tough, performance-wise, for Malik Jackson to keep justifying the price tag that he had, and then Barry Church just out of poor play, played himself.
Right, but I don't think we can get into ideas. The idea was to draft Bortles so he could be a franchise quarterback, and guess what? He wasn't. He was awful.
Mm-hmm.
There's no idea. You have to, like, in these four picks, you can't hope something's going to happen, or you can't think this is what's going to happen. You have to pick them and say he's going to play and play well. And if he doesn't, it's on you because you're the guy that drafted him. You're the guy that should have looked into him, talked to people around him, understood what he was all about. Same thing with Fournette. The exact same thing with Fournette. If they didn't go there and talk to LSU and talk to LSU people who knew that he sat out practice at LSU, that he pulled himself out of games, then it's their fault. If those people told him that, then it's their fault again for accepting and thinking they can change.
Oh, and I'm not saying that was the right thing to do, but Malik Jackson was due $14 million
this
year.
They were
going to cut him, and that's why they drafted Taven Bryan.
Yeah, that was the whole reason.
Right,
for
but the actual selection itself is the wrong selection.
Yeah. All right, let's say hello to Eric Edholm. He's the brand-new draft analyst for Yahoo Sports. Eric, we've had you on before, but we're going to kind of quiz you right now from the draft perspective. How you doing, bro?
Yeah, some spirited Jaguars talk. I'm all for it, man.
Exactly. Well, listen, they need to put a little spirit into these draft picks. So we're going to go through at least some of the decisions that you have teams making. But on the whole, before we zero in on the Jags, on the whole, when you study this first round, is it a good draft class? Is there a set of 32 guys at the top that are all going to help teams like we're discussing fairly immediately?
Yeah, I don't know that it's the most top-heavy class of all time. I mean,
I've kind of come full circle on this thing. You know, 2 months ago, I thought, this isn't a very good class. I'm not that excited about it. Then getting to the combine and Senior Bowl and stuff and talking to some people, they're saying, oh, no, wait a minute. You have, it's kind of a beauty in the eye of the beholder draft. Like, there's certain positions that I think they're really deep. Defensive line, I think offensive line is in good shape as well. Tight end, maybe receiver if you, you know, get past the – there's no number one or two guy that just blows you away, but the depth is really good. So if you kind of look past some flaws, it's a pretty decent draft. I just don't know if round one is going to produce a ton of superstars. I guess that's the way I would say it. So it's going to be more of a blue-collar draft than anything else in my mind.
So, Eric, the argument here, the debate here, I guess, is the best way to put it, is do you go tight end at the number seven overall or do you go tackle at the number seven overall? So that's the initial question for you. The second one, in your latest draft 3.0, which is out today, out off the presses, by the way, at yahoo.com sports, you have Haskins dropping all the way to 28. 28?
Right.
Hey, what's the deal with that? Everybody's talking about that now.
I know. All right, so let's go in the order you asked it, which is the tight end or offensive tackle question first. You know, positional value-wise, I'm of the belief that unless a tight end is a transcendent player, the positional value is probably going to be there at tackle more. We know there's a need at both spots, I think, for the Jaguars. So I gave Juwan Taylor. I just sort of felt, you know, could I see them liking Andre Diller from Washington State or one of the other guys, Jonah Williams? Sure, absolutely. Depends what you're looking for. They're all three different guys. But, you know, I like Hockenson a lot. I had him go in the next pick to the Lions. I think other people are kind of rolling their eyes saying, come on, dude, redshirt sophomore. You know, he's not Gronk. You know, it's going to take a while. That all may be true, but he could be a very good player. So I would have no issue with them considering him at that pick. So that's kind of where I stand on that debate. The Haskins thing, you know, these mock drafts are really tricky because, especially for quarterbacks, here's the deal. Of the last 11 quarterbacks drafted in round one, 10 of them went to teams that traded up into that spot. So, you know, like finding the right place for him is almost impossible. If I think if the Bengals pass on Haskins at 11, let's just say, because I don't think the Giants are taking him. That, I'll stand pretty firm on that one. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I just don't think the Giants are taking him. If the Bengals at 11 pass on Haskins, you know, find me a perfect fit for him in that next 8 or 10 picks. I really can't do it. So I suspect he'll go higher than 28th. But I try to pair him with a team that could possibly be looking for a quarterback down the road. It's just one of those tricky things. Would I take Daniel Jones over Haskins? Absolutely not. But I think that's what the Giants might do.
Eric at home here with us. He is from Yahoo Sports NFL draft analyst. Eric, the Jaguars at 7, you have Juwan Taylor. I think every mock draft that's come out in the last 3 weeks has the Jaguars at 7 taking Juwan Taylor. What about Juwan Taylor do you like? And when you see all these mock drafts putting the same player with the same team, to me, Eric, that might mean that maybe they're shooting some smoke screens out of the stadium.
It makes you a little nervous, doesn't it? It certainly does me. And, you know, sometimes it works out, you know, whether it's I'm trying to think of a good example. Well, Fournette was mocked to the Jags a lot, or you know, Christian McCaffrey to the Panthers a couple of years ago. It's one of those things where, you know, it's okay to be suspicious if you see that. But, you know, I think you have to ask yourself what kind of offense this Jaguars team is going to be, right? I mean, they go from kind of building this power run game thing with, you know, offensive line, Fournette, depth at running back, all that stuff, to switching gears in my mind completely. I mean, Nick Foles has been at his best with the quick passing game, the RPO stuff. You know, John DeFilippo was essentially fired for not running the ball enough in Minnesota. So, you know, even though there's some roster construction that needs to be done, they look like a team that's kind of building to be more of a pass, you know, pass first or at least pass friendly operation. So, you know, looking at it that way, could you make the argument that Andre Dillard or somebody else is a little bit of a cleaner pass protector given his experience in college football? I suppose so, but just from an impressive physical stature, you know, Juwan Taylor is my best tackle in this draft, and I think he could be really special. A little bit of a throwback. He does have kind of that road grader reputation, but I think he can be a quality blocker on the outside and really kind of help steal the edge. So that's why I see it making a lot of sense. I know other people could could, you know, maybe say that doesn't exactly fit what they're doing with the passing game. So it's hard to know. What is the identity of this offense? I guess that's my biggest question this offseason.
It really is, because we're going to find out what DeFilippo does and whether they're going to insist on more of a running game like you were talking about, the battles up in Minnesota when they relieved him of his play calling duties. A couple more minutes with Eric Edholm. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric_Edholm, draft analyst for Yahoo Sports. And the Haskins question, is there something that's going through the funnel right now where everyone is starting to push him down the board? What are you hearing?
Well, obviously, anytime you're a one-year starting quarterback, you know, even in this day and age, I still think that's going to be held against you a little bit. And, you know, they had as talented a group of receivers as anybody in the country. I mean, Paris Campbell, Terry McLaurin, you know, some of the underclassmen there, et cetera. Great run game as well, great offensive line. It was the perfect situation, you know, for him to be kind of sitting in. You know, he got to watch for 2 years, kind of figure things out. Did he step in and was he brilliant? Absolutely. But, you know, if you want to use a little bit of a local angle for a comp, watch him throw the football and you see a little Byron Leftwich in him, like in the sense that he doesn't drive into his throws. He's got incredible arm talent, but it's all arm at this point. Like, he's flat-footed sometimes. So I think there are a lot of people around the league who feel like, we got to work on those lower body mechanics a little bit. We've got to kind of speed up his clock a little. Some pressure looks gave him a few issues. Look at the Purdue game. You know, it's little things. It's not like we're saying this guy is all of a sudden a bad prospect. But, you know, when I try to pair up quarterbacks and teams, you know, I use the metaphor in the mock draft. It's like a dance partner. You know, everybody's got a type that they're looking for. So you look at the quarterback needy teams, what they're looking for. I could see Cincy and Haskins making sense, but I don't see that other perfect match of Haskins to another team up high in the first round.
Hey, let me throw a guy out at you, and I want to know your thoughts on it, and could he be like kind of the X factor of the draft? What do you think of DK Metcalf? Is he another like Mike Mamula, one of those combine guys, and all of a sudden everybody's running after him now?
I mean, the two biggest concerns, you know, matter, like the medical issues. He broke a foot his freshman year, you know, caught touchdown passes his first two games, breaks his foot, he's out for the year, comes back, plays well his redshirt freshman year, wins a lot of accolades, looks good the first seven games of last season, has a very serious neck injury. Now, you know, he says he's been cleared. I haven't been able to talk to all 32 teams about DK Metcalf's medical grades, but there is a sense that, okay, that he kind of dodged a bullet a little bit with that. But, you know, with somebody with such a low body fat percentage, you know, he might be a little bit more susceptible to wear and tear over the years. I mean, I know that sounds a little crazy to think here's this rocked up, muscled up, impossibly athletic receiver. What's wrong with that? Well, NFL teams view it a little differently in terms of body armor and absorbing hits. So that's part of it. His lateral quickness was unbelievably slow compared to other receivers, even of his size. So his straight line speed is great. I think he needs a little polish, but boy, I mean, some of the one-handed catches and the acrobatic stuff he does, and just the raw strength and speed that he has, to me, that doesn't get out of the first round. I don't know whether he'll be a bust or not. I wrote him up yesterday. I think he's got explosive ability. But like you said, there is most definitely a bust quotient with him.
Hey, Eric, we're out of time. About 60 seconds to go in your latest mock draft today. Florida State defensive end Brian Burns to Carolina at 16. Gator safety Chauncey Gardner-Johnson to Seattle at 21. About 30 seconds on each. What do you like about those two young guys?
Burns is one of my favorite players in the draft. Electric edge rusher. He's turning 21 like 2 days before the draft. And watch the tape against Juwan Taylor, and you'll see, you know, just how good he could be. Some people say he takes plays off. I'm not worried about it. I think his motor's going to run hot enough. You know, Gardner Johnson is really interesting in that he played more deep safety last year or 2 years ago than he did last season. His best fit is going to be a team-by-team evaluation, but good athlete. You know, hitter, got some coverage ability, got some run ability too. He's a nice player. I don't know if he'll go round one, but that's a team like Seattle could like him.
Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports draft analyst. Appreciate your time. They can follow you on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. We'll do it again soon, bro.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, fellas.
All right, thanks, man.
All right.
Lovey.
Well, good he's dude. Good, man.
Good dude. Really
he's good.
Knows the league, knows players. Very good.
But it still comes back to, it's hard to find big men, and that's why people are probably still falling in love with Juwan Taylor. But I'm going to As soon as he said it, I started Googling Brian Burns versus Juwan Taylor.
Yeah.
So we may get a Leon breakdown of that coming up here in just
a bit. I was deep into the brown water by the third quarter, yeah. So I don't really remember much of the second half.
A success.
Florida was just giving them the beating at the time.
A success it was. All right, more from Augusta, a Masters update coming your way.
We saved you a seat. It's Lunch with Leon on 1010XL.
Brought to you by Wingstop.
Donald just mentioned Corey Connors, an eagle at the par 5 on the back 9 to get him to that 3-under score and the lead. We are now looking forward to the NBA postseason. And we've got Nick Anderson, a former Orlando Magic fan that Hacker grew up as a fan loving.
Oh, man, this is a big moment for me.
Let's welcome into the show. Nick, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
I'm good, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
What's up, Nick?
Hey, Nick, we are wonderful, and I truly mean it, man. Going down to the Amway Center, I guess it was the Orlando Arena back in the day, watching you and Daryl Armstrong and Jeff Turner and Dennis Scott, man, that brings me back to my childhood.
Man, you telling our age.
Well, it's been 7 years, Nick, since Orlando made the playoffs. As you well know, that streak is now over as the Magic will play Toronto in round one beginning Saturday. Just kind of give us a feel of what that city is like. What's the environment around the franchise now that they are officially back in the NBA postseason?
Ooh, it's excitement. Every day I step out, I hear how the people of Orlando, the city of Orlando, they talk about the seven-year drought is over. We're back in the playoffs. It's a great feeling. And, you know, I have to give kudos to the fans here in Orlando. I mean, they stood behind this team and pushed them. And the guys felt that energy on and off the court. And look what paid off. And it's a great feeling. Like you guys said, it's been 7 long years since we've been in the playoff. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, Nick, it's Sirius. How you doing, bro?
All right, man. What's up with Lunch with Leon?
Hey, you love it, don't you? How was I tried to make a cigar with Leon, but we went with the lunch thing. You know how we do the cigars in Orlando.
All right, right. So now we on the air. Now you owe me lunch.
All day. You know I'm good for it. And a cigar. I got you. Hey, Nick, let me ask you a question. Y'all got a matchup against Toronto in the first round, and y'all went 2-2 against Toronto. Outside of Kawhi Leonard, Buzzers winning shot, y'all could have beat Toronto. Y'all could have been 3-1 up on Toronto. How was this team fit to neutralize Kawhi Leonard moving forward if y'all got a shot in the first round?
Well, you know, looking at a guy like Kawhi Leonard, playoff experience, he was a playoff MVP of the finals when he was with the Spurs. I just call him the quiet guy that just go out there and take care of business. He don't say a whole lot. He just goes out and plays basketball. He gets you numbers. Offensively, he's a heck of a defensive player. He shows his leadership just by playing. And I tell people all the time, you know, there's a lot of guys like Kawhi Leonard. He don't say a whole lot. You don't have to be vocal all the time to show your leadership, but he's a leadership guy. He has the playoff experience. So, you know, if you can neutralize a guy like Kawhi offensively, because you're not going to slow him down. You're not going to stop him from scoring every possession that he has the ball, but make things difficult for him. And, you know, you look at the supporting cast that he has, Marc Gasol, who came over from Memphis. I think he's a heck of a pickup that's in the middle, uses his size. He's a tough defender, a guy that can step out and knock down the three ball. Very smart basketball player. But I think one of the X factors for them is Pascal Siakam. I mean, he's emerged to a heck of a ball player at 6'8.5", 6'9", and in that height range. He can do multiple things. To three ball, he can post up, good defender, rebounder. So the work is cut out, but the opportunity is there. As you mentioned, we went 2-2 versus Toronto, and then a shot away from beating them for a third time. But I think the guys had a confidence. They know what's at stake. And this is a good matchup for them. You know, the opportunity is there. You just got to go and take advantage of it.
Nick, so the Magic have a top four center. You got balanced scoring with Ross and with, you know, with Isaac and with Gordon and Fournier. To me, and you being a defensive guy that you were, this team has gotten better significantly because now they're playing really, really stout defense. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree with that. But you have to give that credit to Coach Clifford. I mean, he's a defensive-minded guy. I really have much respect for him. He's a great coach. He holds you accountable. And that's what players nowadays have to be. You have to be held accountable. You're out there. You're out there to act, to do a job. You know, again, you're going to make mistakes. That's understandable. But you have to be held accountable. And I think Coach Clifford does that with his guys. And they love playing for him. He's a heck of a coach. He's a heck of a guy away from the court. And they love playing for him. And I see it and I feel it from being there watching.
A few more minutes with Nick Anderson, longtime talent in Orlando, one of the standouts when Orlando Magic made their run all the way back in the 90s. When we look at this basketball team, who do you think has matured the most this year? Jonathan Isaac was a guy that they went for at a very young age, and it does look like he's really starting to crest up.
Well, I think he's coming to his own. He's gotten a better feel for the NBA game. He's more relaxed. He's comfortable. You can see it when he plays. He's not second-guessing himself on his shots and his moves that he's making. He's just going out there and playing basketball. When you think a lot while you're out there, it's going to disrupt you. You know, you're hesitant on your shots. You're hesitant on making moves. And he's slowed down the pace of the game. He's let it come to him. He's more relaxed. He's playing with a whole lot of confidence. So I really like the way he's come along. I expect big things from him in the future because he's that talented. At 6'11", the kid can put the ball on the floor. He can shoot outside. He uses that length on the defensive end. He rebounds the basketball. You know, he still has a lot of work to do, but he's that guy that wants to get better. When you have a guy that, hey, he's the first one in the gym and the last one to leave, he's expecting big things from himself, and I think that the organization is expecting big things for him to come too.
You know, Nick, obviously the Magic have had an embarrassment of riches in the past at the big man center position with Shaq and Dwight Howard, certainly. And this will sound crazy. Keep in mind, Shaq was only there 4 years. Dwight Howard there a little bit longer. But I'm not sure when all's said and done in the next couple of years, if he does indeed resign, that Nikola Vucevic won't go down as the best center in Orlando Magic history. And the fact that they're making the playoffs, he became an all-star this year, Vuce is finally getting some of the recognition that he's probably deserved for quite some time.
No question. Right, so you made a great point there. You know, everybody, you know, you think of people on the outside and talk about the game, or fans who watch the game. You know, they talk about, well, Vuce is an athletic and that. Maybe so, but I can look at Vucevic, and this young man's skill set is bar none. You know, his skill set is right there with some of the best players that have played in this league. At 7 foot, the guy can post up. He can score around the basket, left hand, right hand, mid-range game. He's a heck of a pick-and-pop player. And now he's added to his arsenal the three-point shot. Those type of players, when he have a skill set like that, it's hard to defend. And I'm going to go as far as saying that, you know, he's not at that level yet. But you look at a guy like Dirk Nowitzki throughout his career. He wasn't the most athletic guy. He didn't out-jump everybody. But his skill set was so much more polished than other guys around the league, and he used that to the best of his ability.
So, Nick, I need a prediction. Orlando in 6 or 7.
Hey.
Because I know you're picking the home
big
team.
Big Serves.
Yeah. But.
Big Serves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I live and die with my Magic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being here from the first day basketball game ever played in Central Florida. And I look at the group of guys that we have on our ball club right now. I'm going to take the Magic in 7.
Oh, okay.
That's awesome.
I love it.
That's awesome.
I don't think it's that far-fetched either.
I'm going to take my Magic in 7. I think we have a great group of guys who want to succeed, know what is at stake, and I wouldn't go against them for nothing in the world. I'm going to ride or die with my Magic.
Well, the atmosphere down there, Joe, a week from tomorrow night when the Magic are first time at home in the playoffs in 7 years – is going to be absolutely incredible.
And as Nick said,
and trust me, they're going to feel that energy.
Yeah.
That is being poured out here in Orlando.
Yeah, because you said kudos to the fans. You were the first to point that out, and that's cool to hear from a former player and a guy that's still involved with the Magic. All right, before we say goodbye, Leon, Nick Anderson, who's the best trash talker? Just amongst boys, okay? Not necessarily in the game, or you can go there if you want. Who's the best trash talker?
Oh man, I don't know. That's close because we usually do the most trash talking at the cigar lounge, while the fellas around. Yeah.
Big League, let's go back to our plan day.
Okay.
The biggest trash talker that I ever played against, and you know, it's okay to talk trash, but can you back it up?
That's true. That is true.
See, everybody talk trash, but can you back it up? And the biggest trash talker, it's two of them, but I'm going to take MJ23.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
When he talk trash, he bags it up.
Hey, Nick, you stole the ball from MJ45. I was in the Orlando Arena for that one. That's one of the lasting memories I have is when you stole that ball from him.
Yeah, but him and Reggie Miller are neck and neck. Those are two of the big trash talkers that I've played against. But MJ23, both of them bag it up now. But MJ will tell you to go guard somebody else. You can't check me. I'm about to give you 50 and 30 and three quarters. And you look up at the scoreboard, three quarters over, he got 54.
Wow. It is awesome. Hey, great to have you on. Appreciate Leon being able to get you on. And we'll get you before game seven maybe, or as they're getting ready for the second round. How about that?
All right. That's what's up, guys. And I appreciate you guys having me. And, you know, I'm a Jaguar fan too now.
We got to get you up here.
Yeah, I'm a Jaguar fan. I see they didn't made a few changes, but I'm still behind them. That's the way it goes, hey, man.
I get you some. You know, I'm good for some tickets.
Yeah, we got to get you up.
I got you.
All right, man. Y'all have a good one.
All right, Nick.
All right, Nick.
Yeah, that's very cool. And if Nick comes up here, yeah, Leon will just get him out there, do a little Jaguar tailgate pregame, have some fun. That'll be cool.
When the Magic are in the finals against Golden State, Leon, maybe Nick can hook us up with some tickets in about a month or so.
Yeah, he'll take care of it.
There you go.
Yeah. Makes you a little bit for O-Town, huh?
Huh?
The Nick's excitement.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah. That is
I haven't
cool.
been there in 4 months, boy. It makes me start to think, ooh, that town's gonna be hopping.
Oh, yeah.
Because when the last time they were in the finals, which was – it was off, the place was just ridiculous. And the best part about that was when I was working for Sporting News, they had me cover the finals.
Mm-hmm.
So the arena was literally like, I don't know, 10 blocks from my house.
Right.
So I would walk, you know, with my computer back, just walk to the arena and just, I mean, you get like to about like 8 blocks away and it's just
and
packed,
you can feel it.
Packed. And the excitement is just ridiculous.
That it's arena good. Where Church Street is area down there, it's just perfect.
Yeah, they've done a great job. And you can go from one arena to another as long as you kind of keep that passion in that area right there. Concentrated,
right.
Which is what it is.
It's what the South Bank
should
be.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it'll happen. It will happen.
Yeah.
Because it's funny, I pulled up something. I don't even remember what it was. The most popular vacation destination in the summer worldwide. Again, this was one, I don't even know what it was, magazine or whatever.
Right.
Most popular destination in the world, Orlando.
Yeah, I know Orlando. That, bro. Well, I know that from driving on I-4. Trust me.
It's
crazy.
It's the Magic Kingdom, man.
Well, of course, but I'll pull up that list. But it is. It's crazy.
My second home away from home, Leon.
Yeah, where dreams really do.
Come true.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
We saved you a seat. It's Lunch with Leon on 1010XL.
Brought to you by Wingstop.
So I just pulled this up. I mentioned Disney World, one of the top vacation destinations. Just, it's crazy when you match them all up. Top 10. This is, I think, AAA, okay? Top 10, Punta Cana in the Dominican. We just did a tournament there, and I love that place. That's number 10. Then number 9 was Honolulu. These are all pretty obvious, but Anchorage, number 8 in the summertime. Seattle, number 7. Number 6 is Paris, and both Leon and Matty Hayes have been there. Number 5 is Dublin. Number 4 is Vancouver. That's another destination I like to go to. 3 is Rome. 2 is London, and 1 is Orlando, and because of the obvious.
I've been to one of those places.
Yeah, because of Disney.
Isn't that
crazy?
I've been to Honolulu, too, and let me tell you something. Don't go there.
Where's
well, you're going to go to Hawaii, go to Maui.
Yeah, it's such a packed place.
I mean, it's just I went there because I was doing a story on Colt Brennan, the Hawaii quarterback.
Okay.
About 13 years ago, I guess is what it was.
Cancun and Cozumel weren't on there?
No, but you know how these things
Cozumel's
go.
Cozumel's incredible.
Yeah, but most of them made sense, you know, for, say, one reason or another. But I don't know.
I don't know, man. If I'm given the choice to go to Vancouver or to Cozumel, I'm probably taking my talents to Cozumel.
Vancouver,
that's
all I'm saying. Yeah.
Say it's awesome. Punta Cana is nice.
Yeah.
I went there twice. I went there when I played, spent some unnecessary money when I played. And then when I went there a few years back, you know, you can get you a nice room on the beach, casino.
That's why I want to.
Exactly.
That, yeah.
Exactly. So it was a lot cheaper than when I spent when I was younger.
Beautiful place. Punta Cana, right there on one side of the Caribbean. With the island
now,
of Dominican.
This is in the summer they're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I went to Paris in the spring and it sucked.
Yeah.
It did. It was rainy. It was just rainy and it was cloudy. The people were rude. And, I mean, I stuck out like a sore thumb. You know, big black guy walking down the street. Got to play ball.
Did you go to the Roland Garros French Open when you were there?
No, I didn't.
Oh, that's a shame.
Plus, you're probably in the best shape of your life.
Oh, I wasn't the best
shape.
You were
just intimidating people.
Oh, yeah, I was just walking by.
You'd be ready.
Until in my hotel room, it was like 2 days before we were about to leave. I think Tyson had a fight in London, and he flew down. And he actually came into my hotel, and it was entourage. Cause I was sitting in the lobby. It was this entourage of cameras and everything. I was like, who is this coming through the door or whatever? And it was Tyson. Tyson had a fight in London. I guess he came through the estate in Paris after his fight or whatever.
So I'm going to tell you a quick story. About
that's
Paris. You will love this story. So We get there. You know, the time change and everything.
Right.
I'm there with my brother-in-law, his wife, and his and his three sons. So we're there. We go there. We go to Paris, get in. And we're telling each other, look, we got to stay up as much as we can to deal with the time
catch
change.
Up
so
with
we,
the time.
We landed about 7 a.m., so let's stay up as long as we can, as long as we can. So we stayed up as long as we could. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then we said, all right, let's go get some food. We got some food from a vendor. Then we went to this apartment that we had rented, okay? So we go there, and we walked in. We get in. Everybody's putting the food down. And I go into one bedroom, and my brother-in-law's wife walks in next to me. And I said, look, Linda, I'm just going to lay back. Do not let me fall asleep. So she goes, all right, I'm right next to you. So we both lay back in the bed, right? The next thing we know, her husband comes in like 2 hours later. Apparently his son was going to take a bath, so we turned the water on. Fell asleep while the water was on. The water flooded the apartment below, and all of us were awakened by the guy banging on the door because his apartment was flooding.
That is crazy. That would be a bad time to do the VRBO because that way you can't just call someone from maintenance to pop up there and take care of it. That is crazy. Let's talk offensive line before Leon gets out the door. The offensive line, it was kind of interesting what Eric at home said about Andre Dillard and about Juwan Taylor. And I always come away with the same old basic thing. There are only so many big men. I totally get it. That's why these guys are of value. But it is interesting the way he was looking at Andre Dillard, a little bit different than maybe some other people have.
Yeah, and look, I mean, we all expect Cam Robinson to be healthy. I think Cam Robinson's okay at left tackle. I know we've talked about that a lot. To me, Andrew Norwell, it's a huge year. Guy was given buku dollars last year to come in. Didn't play very well when he was healthy, and then got injured and missed the second half of the year. Brandon Linder, same thing. I mean, the offensive line was just decimated. So you would think, Leon, 2017, very, very free of injury. Jaguars were very lucky. 2018, decimated by injury, particularly on the offensive line. Perhaps the football gods will smile on the Jaguars, keep that offensive line healthy this year. And if that offensive line's healthy, and Robinson and Norwell and Linder and A.J. Cann and whoever they have at right tackle, that's okay. I don't mind that offensive line. The problem is going to be, again, like last year, if you were to lose one, two, or multiple guys up there, you're going to have a very similar situation because the Jaguars, again, are not going to have a lot of depth.
Well, here's the thing. You got to be a little lucky when you come with the offensive line because it's a grind. I mean, not even the game's a grind. The practice is a grind, and you've got to build depth. You've got to have guys in there where you can plug in where you won't miss a beat. You just take the Los Angeles Rams, for instance. The Los Angeles Rams, for the whole entire season and the playoffs, had the same starting five offensive linemen. And that's just a brew for success. If you can get that lucky and move forward, then you'll see your team in the Super Bowl like that. Here's my thing with the Jaguars. I like what Eric said about I'm not a big fan of Juwan Taylor, but I'm not a big fan of taking him that high at 7. But some of the things that he said kind of rang a bell with me when he talked about him. He said, for one, he's a road grader. For two, he's tough. for three. He's physical. He uses his hands well. He come out so he's a solid project because if an offensive lineman is tough, he's physical and loves to run block. That is a recipe for success as far as the right tackle goes.
Right, right.
And he has an amazing first punch, which is key. I mean, he's not going to have to worry too much about the blind side because he's going to be the front side when he faces a lot of with Nick Foles and everything. But his first game of the season if we do get Juwan Taylor, his first game of the season is going to be against who? J.J. Watt.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe.
Maybe J.J. Watt. You know, so that'll be something to be interesting. But I like all the things that he said about Juwan Taylor when he spoke. Unless you can just promise me that he's going to be a perennial All-Pro for the next 5 to 10 years or whatever, I just haven't seen anything on film
right.
that jumped out and says, hey,
no,
take
true.
This guy.
Right. Whereas with Hockenson, I think you can see on film, yeah, he's got a potential to be a blocker
and receiver.
3, 4, 5-year All-Pro kind of guy. Yeah, yeah.
The run in 96 that you guys were on, mm-hmm. Tilski played next to you, right? Wasn't Tilski
It
right
was
guard?
Initially Brian DeMarco, then he got benched, and then Tilski took
Because off. We talk about the cohesiveness along the offensive line, which mm-hmm. was a big problem for the Jaguars last year with all the injuries. If Tilski wasn't next to you, and if he was hurt for whatever reason, and player A had to come in his place, is that really a big deal? I mean, we always talk about how offensive line, and they mesh, yeah. and you know what the guy next to you is doing. If that guy's out, like the Jaguars had last year, how tough is that?
It is. It's very tough. I mean, no knock on Brian DeMarco, but he wasn't that good. Okay, there was a reason why Tilski took over, and we made that run because Brian wasn't that good of a guard. And when I got and it affected my play because he was playing so terribly. It affected my play when it came to twist and double teams and all the essential components that a right tackle and a right guard have got to work on. So when I got Tilski in there, it was a lot more flowing. You know, we was on the same page. And when it came to stopping twist and working double teams and all that kind of stuff, we flowed well. And that's how we made our run. It's very important. It's like a marriage. You are married, essentially married to the guy next to you.
That's how I feel about Joe and
exactly.
I.
Exactly. You are essentially married
and
to the guy next to
you. And you were telling me about Tilski. You said you loved him because he was a tough guy, right?
He was a tough guy. You know, he didn't get a lot of fanfare, but he was the type of guy that was going to bring his hard hat and his lunch pail to work every day. And that's the kind of guy you did. I mean, me and Baselli got all the attention, but the Tilskis of the world, the Ben Comans, the Dave Waddells, the Greg Huntingtons, all the guys that were in the middle.
Michael Cheever, man.
They were the meat and potatoes of that offensive line.
Yeah, and the way you describe it, it's like, if you're out there listening, don't forget what he's saying about how linemen have to work together, the cohesiveness, and that it is fascinating because you would think, okay, that big man's next to that big man. You guys figure it out. Come on, you're linemen. But just the kind of unspoken language, mm-hmm. just the little feel and vibe.
It's chemistry, and yeah.
Yeah, you could transfer this to a inside-outside combination in the NBA or college hoops or whatever. You can transfer it to a wide receiver instinctively. Look at what Tom Brady's been able to do without the spoken word. Have Julian Edelman know exactly where he needs to be. So those are the combinations that sometimes we don't appreciate with that offensive lineman, and it is crucial.
And it's like that in all lines of work, too. I mean, I'll use us as an example. When the four of us are here, it just meshes. When one of us is gone, it's just different. Not bad, necessarily, but different. And you can translate that onto the football field. Obviously, the quarterback could be in a lot more peril than he would be for a sports talk roundtable. But, yeah, I mean, if you don't figure out what's going on, and that was the problem the Jaguars had last year. You know, player A would be left tackle 1 week. Then he'd be out, and player B would come in, and then player C had to figure out what player
hard,
B
bro.
Was doing,
and
it was musical chairs the entire year.
Yeah, you got to have some cohesiveness. You've got to have five guys on the same page at all times. If one component breaks down, then it all goes to hell.
And just imagine that all those subs that were in there were going up against the other four on the other side, on the defense.
Right.
And guess what they've been doing? Chemistry as well, so they know how to mesh. And if one guy moves, swim move that, you know, whatever, and they can really embarrass you. They can show you up. All right, Big Sir, take the rest of the afternoon.
I appreciate it.
All right, Leon.
See you tomorrow.
See you on a Friday. We've got Leon's big event. You can go to 1010XL.com and check out all the Jaguars, including Big Sir and a bunch of others, with a 25th anniversary celebration. At Topgolf coming up April 28th, and we'll be out there on the 26th and hopefully get a few of those guys to drop by. But make sure you check it out, 1010XL.com. All of it benefits fosters fostercloses.org.
And I believe Kyle Brady is going to be a part of that, and Kyle Brady is going to be on our program tomorrow, kind of promoting that event and going down memory lane.
He's another guy that still just kind of scares me.
Kyle Brady is a big human being.
He's a kind human being, but he is big. It's XL Primetime.
This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
Watching a little of the coverage up at Augusta National, looking at some of these scores in the first round. We'll keep you up to date with everything with all of our wall-to-wall coverage of Augusta. You'll be able to hear play-by-play on one of our channels on the week or for the rest of the week, and then on the weekend, both on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. We had Eric Edholm on as a guest earlier, a draft analyst for Yahoo, and I thought it was cool that he retweeted this one tweet from Lindsay Theory, and she tweeted out, she's a West Coast girl, covers the Rams, and among other things. And Lindsay tweeted out, the Rams intend to sign quarterback John Wolford, per source. Said Wolford most recently played for the Arizona Hotshots in the AAF. He becomes the third quarterback on the Rams roster behind Jared Goff and, you know who, Blake Bortles. And so it's I'm going to watch. I'm going to keep my eye on that. I don't know whether John Wolford will be able to keep the job, but I know this much. Former Bishop Kenny standout, four-year starter there, four-year starter at Wake Forest. The guy at least had a little bit of an opportunity in the NFL, and then it didn't all work out. We had him on the air after that first game with the AAF.
Yeah, he threw for like 350 yards and three touchdowns.
He's a gamer. He is. I really, really do like the guy a lot.
Two Jacksonville legends on the Rams.
Yeah, and so I'm going to keep my eye on whether or not Wolford has a chance to compete for that job, that backup job I'm talking about.
Yeah, right. No, absolutely. And will he compete with Blake? And that'll be interesting to follow. Like the Jaguars yesterday signed a young man, Cody Brown, who was on the Salt Lake City Alliance football team, the Stallions, I believe. And that kind of gets us into the Alliance. There's a couple of things about the Alliance that's no more, obviously. Number one, lawsuits are beginning to be filed, not from former players, but from league personnel, basically saying, I'd have to read them, but I would have to think breach of contract, well, things along those lines.
As I said, I gave an example last week or week before, I can't quite remember, but you know, there's a local hotel that's been hung out to dry for to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Six figures.
For the Orlando Apollos coming here, and they didn't have any other place to train. They would do their stay there, their meal plan there, work out.
Well, the Apollos have a huge bill in Orlando, too. Huge bill.
You start adding it all up. You start adding it all up. $1 million to UCF and all the other stuff that we're talking about. And then times it times eight. Because all those teams probably had something similar in terms of leaving people high and dry.
Well, that's
because they ran out of money.
That's the negative part, absolutely. And there's certainly a conversation there. But have you seen, I mean, there's been like 40 guys that were in the Alliance that have signed with NFL teams over the last 2 weeks. Does that make the Alliance a success?
No.
I mean, these 40 guys maybe didn't get another shot in the NFL without the Alliance.
I don't know that to be true. I would just say that, it wasn't a success. It was a complete and total flop just on its own, okay? But my guess is those guys somewhere else maybe already had tape on them that NFL teams were looking at. And remember, we're talking 90-man rosters during the offseason.
Agreed.
So a lot of these guys will get, like Johnny Wolford, who knows if he'll stick or not. I hope he does. But I think a lot of those guys, there are definitely a few exceptions. Like Garrett Gilbert, they probably looked at it and they said, you know, quarterback talent is rare. We at least saw enough from him. He's coached well, so let's go ahead and give him a shot. So there's definitely, I think, a handful that can stick. But you know as well as I do, you pick up – you mentioned one of the guys that was signed by the Jags. It seems like every other day there's a transaction taking place. So-and-so's been released, so-and-so's been signed, and these guys are so far down in terms of the plans. But you never know.
And success, Matt, is probably a bad word. I take that back. It's not a success. But for these 40 guys, or let's even say for half of them, for 20 of them.
Yeah, great opportunity.
Would they have ever gotten back into the NFL without what they did in the Alliance?
Some of them, yes, but maybe not. Some of them definitely, because you need bodies in camp. That's as much as anything. So some of them, yes. But I think it was great for these guys to clearly get their face and their talents back in front of NFL
always
evaluators, scouts, and personnel guides. There's no doubt it's a benefit there. You know, and To me, that's, again, that's going to be the difference with the XFL. The XFL is going to have young players on the up, whereas this league was really more of, look, we didn't make it in the NFL in our first shot. Here's what we have. Just remember that we're here, and in case you need us, we're here.
Yeah, and they can, at the very least, you can take what they did put out there and say, you know what? This is at least good on good in terms of this is a – you can classify it as a AAA level, AA level, whatever you want.
They're good on good.
Yeah, they're good on good. And so you can at least look at it and go, okay, we're not risking injury, we're not risking investment on any of these guys, but we're going to look at that tape, and we might find some guys here or there that we want to at least bring into camp. So that from that, that is a positive for all those individuals, for those players.
Yeah, and I'll be rooting for these guys. Like I said, when we – convene down at Jaguar OTAs and minicamp, assuming Cody Brown is still here. Mm-hmm. He's certainly going to be a guy I want to talk to and see what the situation is, how the alliance was compared to what's going on now in the National Football League. You mentioned John Wolford. You mentioned Garrett Gilbert as well, the Orlando Apollo quarterback that got signed. So a lot of these guys getting signed to these 90-man rosters, admittedly, most of these guys, or at least some, won't make it to training camp after the draft happens.
Right.
But for the here and now, getting back into the NFL is certainly a great thing.
Like, remember, after the draft takes place every year, they'll have a rookie minicamp, and they don't have enough bodies. So they'll invite a bunch of, quote, street free agents to come in, and we haven't seen them do anything because they didn't have, say, the AAF or whatever. Maybe some of those guys were on AAF clubs, for all I know. I really don't. But it gives those guys that one weekend of look, right, and an opportunity. And one guy may be able to stick around, but in the case of the AAF, they actually have some decent tape that they can look at and refer back to and go, you know what? Yeah, okay, let's keep this guy around, or let's make sure we bring him back and let him know that what we saw we liked.
Well, you have competition, and I think that's the key. When you have competition and you see how a guy performs in a competition setting, it's different because sometimes these guys, when they get in these camps, they don't get the ability to show what they can do in critical my good against your good. You know what I mean?
Right.
So in this sense, like that's what I meant by it's their good. In this sense, they're playing good on good there, and these guys are showing how well they perform. Yeah. That doesn't mean they're going to do that in the NFL, but it certainly means, look, we can perform at this level. Give us a chance. Let's see what I can do at that level.
How could the business under NFL, you know, big-name guys like Bill Polian, and not to really break down the whole alliance thing, but all these bills that are piling up. We know Orlando, just one franchise that we talked about, over $1 million in debt to the city of Orlando, a six-figure issue here in Jacksonville. How could a business be run that poorly in a three-month span?
I don't know. It really is. It
was a clown show.
I was going to say, if you can explain it, it's probably criminal, really, because I don't know how they could not how they convinced someone to put their money in there. Because they did convince somebody to put their money.
Well, not only that,
and
I believe it was Michael Hugh explained it to, I believe, the Franchise show that the television deal really wasn't a deal.
No,
they weren't getting any money.
Never
for that.
A deal. Never.
So
a deal.
So this thing was literally a card game from Go.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's a shell game, card game, same thing. Is that they convinced someone to put their money into this with no return on investment from a network deal or nothing? They said, "Hey, NFL Network, will you put our games on?"
And you know what they're banking on? They were literally banking on attendance at state. That's the only way you generate revenue from that that league, because they did not have a television contract.
It drives you crazy. All right, so how about some spring football, some college talk coming up? Got a Masters update coming your way. Thanks to Preferred Builders, one of our sponsors today. Preferred Builders, Jacks, if you're thinking about a remodel, addition, or a brand-new home, you need to check them out. Local, 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 and they do quality work.
This is XL Primetime on 1010XL, built by Preferred Builders.
Into the 2 o'clock hour, thanks for hanging out with us. Joe C., Ryan the Hacker Green, Matty Hayes, and J.J. LaSelva. We'll have Leon back with us tomorrow. Looking at those leaderboards up at Augusta, it really is fun to watch and just see how this day unfolds. The opening day, we all think that the old golf tournament is won or lost on the first day. No. Long way to go.
I love the Masters, Joe, but that leaderboard's very sparse right now with big names.
Wait.
Give it time.
Before we go anywhere, I think we almost need like a that just happened right now. Can we get that, JJ?
Yeah,
that
I think just JJ's
happened?
Got it.
That just happened. Brought to you by Florida Home AC.
So we've got an update with the hack and the esophageal, and then we also have an added extra bonus update with the skin tags.
Oh, the esophageal spasms. Yeah.
I cannot believe you mentioned the skin tags. I really don't want to hear that.
No, you want to hear it.
I don't have another one, but I'm going.
You want to hear it.
I'm going for a full body check.
Full body hack.
I'm not sure why Matt had to bring that onto the radio, but nevertheless, I am going
full body. Well, no, because I was saying earlier, after my very first full body check, I came back and announced on the radio.
You were saying something about a back latch or something.
I never want to look that out of shape again,
yeah,
in front of a doctor who just happened to be a female, and then the nurse who just happened—it was the most embarrassing, humiliating thing ever.
Did they search you with a fine-tooth comb?
They comb you.
Okay,
they comb you.
Wow, and I'm
they're
not
looking
forward to that then.
And they're looking for what could be little cancerous stuff on you. They'll put a laser on you in a heartbeat. Now you're like, hurt. She's like, I know it's supposed to, and that's
how often do you have to get that done?
About every year.
Really?
Yeah.
It'll be my first one. Well, Should I be excited about it?
I had skin cancer cut out of my leg.
Oh, so now,
once you do that, you want to make sure that you keep an eye on everything and just be safe.
Well, the thing with the spasms was I went for the checkup today after the endoscopy, and apparently I told them that everybody thought it was spice-related, why my esophagus was bothering me a couple weeks ago.
Everybody being me and Joe.
A lot of unmedically trained people were telling me I was eating too much spice. Well, the guy with the medical degree today said that spice had very little, if nothing, to do with it. It was due to acid reflux, and that's why my esophagus got inflamed.
Yeah, that's,
so he said I can eat jalapenos and whatnot. I'm not gonna go back to what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate the guidance you guys were giving me.
So then you
scaring the bejesus out of me.
Then you trust our medical opinion on the radio.
No, I got Matt Hayes over here telling me my esophagus is gone because I'm eating sriracha. I got you telling me I eat too many jalapenos and the lining of my stomach is destroyed, but you guys aren't medically trained professionals.
But your doctor initially told you stop eating spicy food.
He initially told me it might be spicy.
You know what? Bring him in here.
Yeah,
we'll debate him.
The rest of that is buffoonery because I'll put my medical radio degree on up against his in a heartbeat.
You're challenging his medical opinion.
Yes. Bring him in here.
Because I just simply look at it like, okay, doc, what did cause it then?
Acid reflux.
What caused the acid reflux?
Well, not necessarily spice. Acidity, obviously.
Yeah, I can
do. Which I probably shouldn't be drinking this, but I am. But I'm taking medication now to prevent the problem from occurring again.
And really what we do come down to, it's a conglomeration of bad. Okay,
agreed.
Wait, this is the best part. I said, Hack, you're drinking soda again? He said, well, I'm taking medication.
I am taking medication.
Hey, and he
it's zero-calorie soda, mind you.
And he just went to the doctor. So once you go to the doctor,
it's bro,
clean it's
the
and
calories not. It's not the calories that are getting it's just carbonation.
It's zero calories, zero sugar is what it
it's
is.
It's just so funny, though, that I don't know what the hell he's talking about because I know exactly what caused it.
Well, I'm not going to go back to eating a million jalapenos every meal, but it's nice to know that if I want to indulge in the spice of life, I will be able to do that.
Well, you know what? Actually, I still believe what I believe, but there is one good thing that comes out of this.
What's that?
And JJ should see this just like the rest of us right now. JJ, is this not the truth? He now can do the Choco Challenge.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I forgot all about that.
Right?
I forgot all about that.
Right?
I'm calling that, Beef, man. Immediately.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
Get in touch with Beef.
Isn't it insane how, he waits till we all forget about that, and then all of a sudden, hey, it had nothing to do with
what
that.
What did you call it, JJ?
Long con.
Yeah, the long con.
Long con.
Yeah, I saw Big Game James Coleman. I saw Beef. I saw the After
like,
Effects.
I'm out.
I'm not doing that. I've retired. I'll do the milk challenge again before I do the Choco challenge.
Been there, done that.
It's just a gamble is all it is. Just a gamble.
Well, Matt Hayes hadn't done the milk challenge with us. Can you drink a gallon of milk in an hour?
I'll tell you what. I
without
would do that.
Puking.
I would do that if you do the Choco challenge. We'll both do that. How about that?
I am not.
That sounds like a good
You'll
day.
Do the milk challenge
sure.
on air.
Sure.
Okay. We'll talk.
No.
It's interest. Always a July 4th tradition on XL Primetime.
None.
I mean, I have no desire to it either. But if it's going to get him to do the Choco Challenge, then I might do it.
So we get to see Matt and Hack puke in one day.
True,
amazing. What a great day.
That is true. And I guess people do, they do require, you know,
we had
those
200
types of
people out here in the front yard the one year we did it.
To watch you with the milk challenge?
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely. Right. It was great.
I mean, I'm not doing that. Yeah. I just want to get you to do the Choco Challenge.
Right. But here's what you got to remember. If you say you're going to do it, then you got to do it.
Well, I'm not doing it, but I can guarantee you until July 4th, I'm going to guilt you into doing the Choco one.
But the other part of it is that there's nothing worse than going through that long gallon and then ultimately puking as opposed to the Choco Challenge, which will end in seconds.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't?
It doesn't?
No, James said he was like laying down in the back room for like 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I'm talking about just for our entertainment.
Oh, yes, yes.
What I'm talking about.
So you did the milk challenge.
No, I'll never do it.
No, I did it four times on three different radio stations.
And how many times did you throw up?
Oh, yeah, it's impossible to do. Yeah. Two people have done it that I've seen, Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi, are the only two people that I've actually seen drink a gallon of milk in an hour. Your body just, you can't do it. Yes. People think they can do it, but you can't.
And it's disgusting.
It is.
So we do it in the heat of summer, which is always a bad idea. So it's 100 degrees outside. We're sweating. We're gross. Drinking a gallon of milk, and then you just hurl all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Makes for terrific theater.
Yeah. I'm the old bull now. I'll just, instead of run down there, I'm just going to walk down there.
Right. So speaking of gambling, according to Golf Digest, an unidentified Nevada gambler placed $85,000 on Tiger Woods to win the Masters.
85 gur.
85
huge,
gur.
Nasty cash.
The payout would be 1.19 mil if he does.
So his odds were in that. Does it say what those
14
odds?
14 to 1.
Okay, 14.
At William Hill.
All right. Well, that's a lot. We'll find out whether or not right now he is not near the top of the leaderboard, but also not in bad shape either. He's at one under par. So he's a guy. And by the way, Justin Harding, the guy who was at the top at 4 under all by himself, is now at 3 under par.
Look, the Masters.
He bogeyed 18.
Yeah, the Masters, Joe, will sell itself. I think you're right about that. Leaderboard needs to get a little more sexy, doesn't it?
I'm upset with myself because I didn't. Lucas Biergaard is right now tied for the lead. And I don't know why. I had a weak moment. I didn't select him.
That's the dude to beat Tiger in the match play, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Biergaard is right up there, tied for the lead right now. But, yeah, you know what? It always works, Hack, where just things turn, guys move up, maybe lesser-known names fade. Not saying that they all will, but I'm hoping you're going to see the cream rise to the top. But one thing I have noticed just in the short amount of time that we've been watching either the coverage on Masters.com or looking up and seeing some of the stuff coming from ESPN is that they firmed this golf course up big time. Even though it rained earlier in the week and we were worried that they'd be able to just basically throw darts at these flags, oh my gosh, they're rolling extremely fast. They have the sub-air system so they can pull all the moisture out, but they have made this golf course much tougher, at least it looks like right now, than we've seen in the last handful of years.
You know, real quick, fan experience. I have never been to the Masters. I went to one practice round like 10 years ago, but I've never actually been to the tournament Thursday through Sunday. Compare, contrast what we see at the Players.
I've never been in competition, so it's hard for me to say. I want to see it. I want to know, but I always tell everybody, and this is just from other people telling me about Augusta, is that you cannot totally appreciate what you have here at TPC Sawgrass until you go to another tournament on the PGA Tour. Then you'll realize just how flipping good this is. This is as good as it gets in terms of sight lines, viewing, being able to see it with all the natural, well, the stadium, the way they created it. It's a stadium golf course. And even though you see huge hills and whatnot at Augusta, you cannot see the play as well as you can here. And that's why people should probably think twice about making sure that they get out and see this one. Everyone wants to say, you know, it's a must-see at Augusta, and it is. But, boy, we're pretty spoiled here. We really are. All right, another update coming up, and then we'll get back into that college football talk that we were getting into just a minute ago, because you've got Miami spring games. You've got
a lot of spring games this weekend.
Tennessee.
Obviously, Florida State happened last Saturday, but the Gators are this Saturday. I think Tennessee, Texas A&M, they're coming up. A lot of coaches going into year number two. Jimbo, very successful. Dan Mullen, very successful. Jeremy Pruitt in Knoxville, not so much. Can he turn things around in year two? So a lot of SEC and ACC spring games on the horizon.
All right, let's jump on that coming up here in a second. You want to head out and check out the Jumbo Shrimp? Well, you got a chance. Caller number 4 at 641-1010. A 4-pack of tickets. JJ will hook you up. 641-1010 to go out and see the Jumbo Shrimp at Bregan Field at the baseball ground.
This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
19 minutes after the 2 o'clock hour, we'll ask Gator fans and Miami fans, all of them that are going to have spring games coming up tomorrow. Just start thinking about it. You guys can always text us or tweet us, but are you going to head over? Are you going to be into the spring game? There are plenty that are into it and want to see the next either set of stars or confirm that the guys have come back from last year and ready to be even better. In the case of the Gators, Felipe Franks, I think a lot of people want to see how much better he can be, and they also want to see what the other quarterbacks look like. Who was it? Jalen Jones was an early entry that came in January.
Yeah, and you got Emory Jones, Kyle Trask.
Yeah, you definitely have those guys.
Big-time quarterback room.
But you'll be able to see at least Jalen a little bit. You've seen those other guys, and so you might be able to at least get a little bit of a flavor as far as what's going on. But really, that's what it comes down to. I think the next biggest thing or the next great thing that's coming down the pike, that's what most people are looking for in the spring.
A lot of spring games this week. I'm just scrolling
Miami's
down here.
Miami's is actually the 20th.
Yeah, Miami's is a little later. We got West Virginia, Wisconsin, Alabama. It's going to be on ESPN2. Mississippi State's on ESPNU, Florida this week as well on the SEC Network. I was talking to Chad Scott about this earlier this week. Man, the orange and blue game back in the day for me was huge. Right? You don't see your season ticket buddies or your friends in Gainesville since basically Thanksgiving. This is kind of the midpoint of the offseason. You go there, you have fun and all that. I wonder if TV has taken something away from the spring game, because I know personally I don't go down near as much to Gainesville as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if, you know, that's a growing trend because it's right there on your TV screen and you can watch it in the comfort of your own living room. I used to love the orange and blue game, and it's kind of losing a little luster in that department.
I think it's the biggest reason is HDTV. Okay, that is seriously. So HDTV, and then on top of that, the SEC Network and ESPN, and they're going to show it to you, okay? And then the one thing about the spring game, especially if you go, like, say, the way some have been run, it's not even orchestrated as a real game. There's situationals that they set up, and so it's all disjointed. And it used to be, really, like you're saying, a feel-good to go back, tailgate that one trip in the spring. You might see your old buddies if you're parking in the same spot, and you just kind of get a little feel for it. All right, man, they look better than I thought they would. That quarterback's going to be something. Did you see that guy make that play? Whereas now, you don't get to see nearly as much as you used to, and now anything you are going to see is going to become through the television. So I think it's a no-brainer is why it's lost some of its popularity.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with the fact they're not winning consistently, too. I truly do, because Alabama gets great attendance at their game. Clemson had 66. I think if back in the late 2000s,
but my other answer, my other quick answer is that is Alabama,
right?
What the hell else you gonna do? All right,
I'm not disagreeing with
Clemson,
that.
Clemson, come on. What else we gonna do?
Well, Georgia, you're an hour away from the metropolis that is Atlanta.
Yeah, I know, but.
Ohio
what
State
gets
60,000-70,000 for this spring
when
game.
When did we start looking at it? And Matt's not the only one, but everybody does it.
Texas
do it as
gets
well.
50,000-60,000 for this
Why
spring
do
game.
We look at attendance in spring games? When did that become a
thing? Well, I think what it is, it's affirmation that you're this passionate diehard fan
and
base.
That the program's going in the right direction. That's my point.
Yeah, but South Carolina, they may pack the house, but it's not going in the right direction. It's an okay program.
Nebraska packed the house last year, and they sucked.
Yeah, and Nebraska, same thing. Ain't nothing else going on. And so I do think there's certain that, A, there's not a professional sports franchise in the states that we're talking about. Not one in Alabama, not one in Nebraska, not one in South Carolina. And so they do get very, you know, wrapped around
I'm not disagreeing
with
that
one team.
I think that's a fair point.
And then we talk about a beautiful spring day. You may just head to the beach as opposed to going to a spring game.
Those are all fair points. I think my baseline for me is winning cures all. When you win,
it does get you fired.
It's much easier for you to say, you know what, let's go down to Gainesville. Let's go watch those young guys run around. We'll see our buddies we haven't seen in a few months. We'll have a nice little cookout and we'll watch a little ball. It'll be fun. Maybe we'll go to, I don't know if the Porpoise is still there. The Porpoise afterwards and have a couple beers.
May it rest in peace.
Right,
maybe
we'll go to the Copper Monkey or whatever in a couple of hours and then leave.
I mean, you guys are big deals in Gainesville, both of your pride of the University of Florida.
I used to be a lot of things, but I'm not so much
anymore.
Well,
I mean, people know you in Gainesville. Can y'all do something about the fact that this is like the fifth year in a row the Orange and Blue game has been on Master Saturday? Can you make some phone calls and get that change next year?
I don't know why. I really don't understand it.
It's just
because
awful.
I'm with you.
I can guarantee you when the HBC was there, it was not on Master Saturday.
No, and And the other part of it is that they, I think they look at the overall, the calendar of what they want to get done at a certain time.
Right.
Coming out of recruiting period, looking at visits, all that type of stuff. So it all kind of works in. But it's crazy how they keep lining this thing up with a Saturday spring game on Saturday at Augusta. Like, what are you guys doing? And Mullen is definitely a golfer, so you would think that he'd be into it a little bit. But no, he hadn't moved it off that calendar date either.
That just happened. Brought to you by Florida Home AC.
A lot of people's favorite coming into this tournament, Jordan Spieth. Hole one, misses a 2-foot putt. Terrible start.
Wow, so he opens one over.
I would say a lot of people's hopeful. I don't know about favorite.
Well,
right?
Everyone
a lot of people's hopeful.
Everyone was saying, can he restart the engines, come back to a place where he's very familiar? And a lot of those guys that have been there and been as successful as he has in the past, they can do it. I think his number to par over the last 3 years beats everybody impressively by maybe double digits, I think.
Right.
But he has just gone south. And even though he was okay coming in on, say, Saturday on the back nine at TPC San Antonio and was okay on Sunday, he is not putting well at all. He is way down in tour stats right now.
I would say, like, let's go back to the spring football. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a Florida fan, I would say, why would you not go down there? Because of the way your offense played in the last month of the season, because of the momentum you have.
Yeah, Gator fans should be fired up.
Because you get to see the two young Jones kids throw the ball, because you get to see your quarterback, Felipe Franks, who's had a great spring, who the word out of Gainesville is he's really now embraced his position, his leadership role, the way he's throwing the ball. And the reality is, look at your receivers you have. Van Jefferson, Trayvon Grimes, Tyree Cleveland, who came back for his final year there. Kadarius Toney. They got a lot of weapons there. Kroll has had a great spring. So I would go there just to watch the young guys throw the ball, to watch those really good receivers run around, figure out what you're going to do on the offensive line, watch the offensive line, and just watch them play.
Yeah,
to me, it would be fun. Whereas I think in the last couple of years, you're kind of like, oh, my God, what are we doing to quarterback? What are we doing here? What are we doing
It was
there?
Not a good feel. It really wasn't. Especially – now, there was optimism with Mullen last year, but it was hope. It was mixed with hope.
Right. It was a little trepidation
and
optimism.
Now like, okay, I got a good feel for what this team's
going
to look
There's
like.
There's a lot of hope going into the Gator season this year. I look at that schedule, man. It's daunting. I know we got a long time to talk about it, but that is a tough, tough schedule they're going to have to putt around to make anything happen this year.
All right, so for what it's worth, Ian Woosnam beat the pants off of Angel Cabrera.
Oh,
by
gosh.
Two shots.
What did Cabrera shoot?
So if you were gambling and you'd say Angel El Pato versus Woosnam,
how many
Welshman,
packs of cigarettes has Cabrera smoked today?
Probably a bunch. Yeah. But you're thinking to yourself, who would win that? Angel all day.
Right.
Angel shot him a little 82, and Woozy shot him a little 80.
Ian Woosnam. All right.
Got him by two shots.
And by the way, NFL related, and we're going to jump into the NFL, there is an incredibly juicy NFL rumor out there. The NFL Network just threw out involving a potential trade for a quarterback. You're not going to believe the team they're talking about. I'm fascinated by this.
Stick around. It's XL Primetime.
This is XL Primetime on 1010XL, built by Preferred Builders.
PreferredBuildersJax.com, easy to go check out and make sure that you start thinking about that home improvement project with the right guys behind you. Check them out. So we mentioned a little bit of an NFL rumor that's out there, and it really all centers around the quarterback position.
Doesn't it always?
This guy, Josh Rosen, he's been floating out there. He says he's reporting for OTAs and all that kind of stuff. Find out what happens with him. Another team's at least been tossed out there.
Yeah, it's the silly season, as we all talk about. So there was a report on the NFL Network that there were some teams interested in Josh Rosen, including perhaps the Denver Broncos. And the reason you would be like, what? Is the Broncos just traded for Joe Flacco, obviously, from Baltimore. And I love how these reports make teams probably very upset or what have you. The Broncos have already come out this afternoon within the last 90 minutes or so and basically said that's not accurate, that we're not interested in Josh Rosen, and we are going forward with Joe Flacco as our starting quarterback.
Which might mean 100% they are interested.
Right. Maybe.
Right.
Who knows?
Right. Which means they don't want the Cardinals to know they're interested. Right?
Yeah, the one funny thing, though, is Joe Flacco is costly, but not over the top, especially for the first year that they get him. It's in that $18 million range, 18 and a half. So the Broncos have at least allocated cash for that. But then if you were to trade for Josh Rosen, you're picking him up on his rookie contract. You're not anywhere near the option year or anything like that. And so he basically does come on the cheap from a quarterback's position. So it's not even impossible to suggest that Denver could do both
for
a year.
Let me ask both of you guys. 1 month from today, on May the 11th, is Josh Rosen an Arizona Cardinal?
No.
I say no.
No way.
Just based on what I'm feeling right now, I say no.
Here's another thing, too. The Redskins were also in that NFL Network report, and they've also denied it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
and the Redskins went out and got Case Keenum,
right?
Right,
but my point is, I think you have to deny it because you don't want the Cardinals to think you're desperate. And that's really where everybody's at, whoever wants him.
If nothing else, we should at least learn this much, is that Josh Rosen, for now, is a cheap alternative at quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
And Keenum dropped into Washington and Flacco dropped into Denver. I think it still gives those teams the ability to maybe get that guy. And it'd be a one-year situation where you basically figure out which of these two are we going to go with going forward. Flacco's only going to be good for a couple more years. Case Keenum's only been good for 1 year. 1 year. And then you figure out what you got with Rosen.
The thing with Arizona, too, they're playing with fire, right? Because Kyler Murray, if they draft him number one, he could potentially be very, very good. Or he could potentially be very, very bad. Josh Rosen was a top 10 pick last year. What if they move on from him, draft Kyler Murray, Rosen goes on to six Pro Bowls somewhere else? I mean, then Arizona is going to be looked at as one of the worst trades in the NFL in a long, long time.
Yeah, that really is the fear. But whatever it is, you've got to feel like you've done enough to make that decision, because Rosen did not look terrible to me other than he was on a terrible team.
Terrible offensive line.
Okay. Killed.
So he was on a terrible team.
Right.
And so I don't think you even know whether – I know this guy's got just a rocket of an arm, decent decision maker. Who knows personality-wise? A lot of people are guessing on that, but we'll find out. We'll mention Pete Prisco's mock, his latest one that came out, which doesn't have Kyler Murray at the top. It does have some other things that we've seen quite often, but – we'll tell you who's got at the top coming up next on XL Primetime.
This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
Franchi Show about 15 minutes away. They take over at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Masters will be going on all into the late afternoon hours. We mentioned Pete Prisco with a new mock, and these things are ever-changing. But Pete Prisco of CBS Sports puts the Arizona Cardinals at the number one selection, taking Quinnen Williams, defensive tackle out of Alabama.
I like the Prisco's different in that regard.
Yeah, and who knows whether it'll stick or stay, or whether someone else maybe will start to follow along. Who knows? But I do like the fact that Pete's given you something different to think about. He said, rather than take quarterback, I have them taking the best down player in the draft. Quinnen Williams in for a visit today.
Yeah,
in
here with Jacksonville. Jacksonville's brought through a lot of guys, and Quinnen Williams is next on that list, the big defensive tackle from Alabama. I know this, Matt, about Quinnen Williams. Every time I saw Alabama play, 92 was in the
he
backfield.
Made plays. Yeah,
that guy would make plays, man.
He's a bad man. And he's an interior guy. They even used him on the outside a little bit at Alabama. He's not an outside guy in the NFL.
Right.
But I'm telling you right now, he's a bad man. You were talking about like locks for the draft. And I was telling you before Jeffrey Simmons got hurt that I thought he was the number one lock for the draft. I would probably go with Quinnen Williams right now. He's a guy where I don't see how he could fail in the NFL.
Could you bring up the name Aaron Donald when talking about Quinnen Williams? Does he have that type of potential?
They're not similar body types, but yeah, I would say definitely.
Because you want that disruptive, strong, wins the battle, low, can just get underneath those offensive linemen.
Beats double teams. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really what you
absolutely
want. Nick Bosa second with Pete's new mock. Josh Allen from Kentucky third to the Jets. Then the Raiders take Kyler Murray. Devin White, linebacker to Tampa, which has been a very popular pick.
Replacing Quan Alexander, who they lost in free agency.
And then he doesn't have the Giants taking the quarterback. He has them taking Montez Sweat right in front of Jacksonville.
Okay.
And then the Juwan Taylor selection. So, Juwan Taylor's definitely been a popular choice for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know whether it's going to be a popular one or a smart one. I have no idea, but a lot of people have him plugged in as the guy that the Jaguars are going to take.
Now, the 2-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Waiting in line is so 2018. App your way to the front of the line. Order Moe's online or in the app. Walk in, grab the food, and go.
Frank Frangie joins us now. First day of the Masters, Frank. I'm looking at this leaderboard. It's driving me crazy. Mm-hmm. Guys I didn't select. Guys I didn't have enough courage to select.
Who's ahead? I haven't even looked.
Harding is getting it done right
I
now, Frank.
I loved him, too. I loved Harding. I think his game sets up well, Maddie, for that.
I know you'll
not Ian Woosnam, by the way.
He's a driving. Yeah. What about Ian? How did I become the Ian Woosnam of radio?
Yeah.
It was so funny.
I don't need to see guys shoot 100 in the Masters. Now, granted, Woosnam only shot an 80. Angel Cabrera did shoot an 82.
Yeah, Hacker's like, why do these guys got to keep playing?
Right.
And then he said, well, you know, they're not in sports radio. He said, I hope I'm here 45 years from now or however long we're talking about. Right. And then someone sends on the text line and goes, by your logic, Frangie's going to be off the radio in a couple
the hell
of years.
What is that? So what you're saying is Hacker's trying to run me out of here.
What I'm saying is you got kneecapped and you weren't even here.
Unbelievable.
Hack, by the way, there's a 97-year-old sports columnist in Minneapolis.
97?
Sid Hartman. 97.
So you're saying I got 4 or 5 more years?
I'm saying you got 4 or 5 decades, bro.
Hey, let me tell you what I tell Hack, what I tell people about retiring. Hey, man, what do you want? I tell my buddies my age are starting to wind it down. You do what? When I retire, you know what's going to happen, Joe? I'm going to talk about sports and no one's going to pay me.
Exactly.
So what the hell? Our lives don't change. Okay?
This is working.
I'm going to do this till about 80, in case you want to know.
I loved your tweet.
When I'm 80, I'll start thinking about it.
Well, right? I loved your tweet yesterday. As you know, Frank, I'm a big Rays fan.
I know you are. You're locked into the Rays.
At 10-3, I'm a diehard Rays fan.
I know it.
So the Rays trade Chris Archer, a big-time pitcher last year, to the Pirates. Pirates give back two guys I'd never even heard of, some guy named Meadows and some guy named Glasnow or something. And now you look at what Meadows and Glasnow are doing in Tampa. Yeah. The Rays have one of the best records in baseball. It's early,
right.
But man alive, what they're doing.
Well,
is
two
incredible.
Things. First of all, I'm so pissed about the trade because those guys are – Meadows is going to win about 4 Triple Crowns, and Glasnow is going to win about 8 Cy Youngs. So I'm already upset about that. You know what's even better about that? Heck, now you have 2 Rays you can name.
So
that makes it even better.
For a couple weeks.
You can name a couple Rays players.
Hey, man, it's like Kevin Cash, right?
He is the manager.
I'm all in.
I'm like you, dude. The hockey started, okay?
Yeah. You got a cup to win, Frank.
I got a cup to win here.
He's bringing up the Rays because he was so on the Lightning, and then they lost their first game.
Oh, they're up 3-0. They're up 3-0, and they blew it.
To Columbus.
They had never given up. They had never lost when they were up by 3 this entire season.
By the way, we're going way too long. Why are you a Caps fan? Where'd that come from?
It's a great story, man. When I was growing up down in South Central Florida, right out on the beach, I'd go to bed at night. You know, we had a 2-story. No air conditioning in the second story.
Yep.
So the windows were always open. In the summer, it's hot. Even in the spring, it's hot. Windows are open. I'd go to bed listening to sports on the radio when I was a kid. The strongest station was WTOP in Washington. I listened to the Bullets, the Capitals, the Orioles.
From a kid, that's pretty good.
And I have not been around, by the way. We're going to go at it when the Penguins and the Caps.
And I'm a diehard Penguins fan. Okay, I think last year I could name like 2 players. Okay, I don't remember. The problem is I don't remember the 2. Okay, I know Crosby.
One of them Sidney.
I had 2 last year, Joe. I just don't remember who the
don't
2
they
were.
Have Malkin, Evgeny Malkin.
Look at you, Matt Murray. Hey, we'll talk a lot of golf today and a whole lot of other stuff. Interesting, Quinnen Williams, would you take a 3 technique again? You just took a 3 technique. If he's there, do you take him again? All that coming up in just a bit.
Definitely worth a discussion because the Jags have brought him in to take a look at him. So we definitely will find out in a short amount of time where they're going to go. All right, we are out of here. You got a Masters update coming up here in just a second. Good times as always on XL Primetime. Thanks to the Preferred Builders, Preferred Roofing, that group has got so many different things they can offer you in the construction world. So check them out, Preferred Builders Jacks or PreferredRoofingJacks.com. Joe C., Ryan Green, Matty Hayes, we'll have Leon Searcy back with us tomorrow. Enjoy the opening round of the Masters as we get it rolling up there in Augusta. Good job, JJ.
Thank you to Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports covering the NFL Draft. Thank you to Nick Anderson, former Orlando Magic star. If you missed either one of those interviews, they'll be on 1010XL.com on the on-demand page. We'll be back at high noon on a Friday. The Frangie Show, Frangie, Carline, Lauren Brooks. That's coming up next.